Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I have to say I made one mistake.
Just stop talking.
I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way.
It's the blind leading the blind.
Every single guy over there needs a beating.
Dale Arnold.
What would you think if Tom Brady came to the Titans?
Why isn't Ryan Tannehill good enough?
You guys convinced me that Tannehill's good.
Brady and Jerry Jones. Oh, I want me some of that.
Leaning in that same direction.
Rich Keefe.
I think if you don't recognize that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever to play the game, you're not qualified to talk about sports.
Yo, he just spit facts at your ass.
He could win 11 games with Matt Damon.
How do you like their math?
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Why Tom Brady? Y'all speak now?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Free AP.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
There's a lot of anger in the sports world right now.
Anger? What do you mean anger?
There's a lot. Well, more in baseball than the other sports.
Baseball's having a time.
In some of the other sports as well, there's a lot. There is a lot of anger out there.
Well, you know, it's an angry time, man.
It is. It is.
It seems to be a very angry
sports,
time.
Sports, politics, and religion, man. Three things that have people going.
Get people fired up.
I cannot remember hearing the internal bickering in any sport that I've heard around Major League Baseball. Even when the Patriots were accused of Spygate or the Patriots were accused of Deflategate, you actually had guys defending Brady saying, hey, everybody likes the footballs their own way.
Right.
Nobody, not a single person has come to the defense of a single member of the Houston Astros.
No, and around baseball too, you're getting more and more players speaking out and
killing them.
And you'd have to say that they better be pretty damn sure that they weren't doing anything,
right?
Because whether it's Cody Bellinger or Aaron Judge or Nick Markakis or all these guys just ripping the Houston Astros, that better mean that you didn't do anything, because you know what happens is we are going to keep track of everything that everybody has said, and then sooner or later, one of these guys is going to get busted for something, and then you're going to say, oh, but you're on your high horse talking about the Astros, and now take a look at you. So that's what baseball is becoming
right
now.
Then J.D. Martinez says that he thinks that the Astros are taking too much heat for the sign-stealing thing. So I think there are.
If he is, he's literally the only guy. I haven't seen that.
But I think a lot of guys are staying quiet.
Nick Markakis says they all deserve a beating.
They need to catch a beating.
Doesn't it look like there are guys that are just out there, like Markakis, saying crazy stuff, and then there are just everybody else is staying quiet because they're like, I'm not going to throw.
There ain't many people staying quiet.
I'm not going to throw stones when I live in a glass house.
You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
Wow.
They need to catch a beating. Aaron Judge went through one of his old tweets from 3 years ago where he congratulated Jose Altuve on winning the MVP because, of course, he just edged out Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge probably should have won it anyway, but he didn't. It went to Altuve. He went back and deleted the tweet.
There were reports that when the Manfred's report came out, you deleted a tweet that congratulating Altuve back in 17. Is that accurate? Did you delete that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for the obvious reasons that we're talking about here?
Yeah, I think I took it down like right when I think the story broke out. Right when I think Mike Fiers came out and talked with Athletic and stated that, you know, this is what was going on in 17, you know. And once I heard that, you know, I just sick to my stomach, you know, just to find out, you know, had a lot of respect, you know, for those guys and, you know, what they did and, you know, especially, you know, what they did for the city of Houston and that whole organization, man, a team that was in last place and drafted right, got the right players in there and, you know, eventually, you know, got to the World Series. You know, I had a lot of respect for them, you know, the way they played, what they did. And then to find out that, you know, it wasn't earned. They cheated. You know, that didn't sit well with me. And I just didn't feel like the post that I did really, you know, meant the same anymore.
Smoked him.
Right. You got LeBron James tweeting smack at Major League Baseball and the commissioner.
But I think a lot of some of these baseball players are real fraudulent because
Wiggy, stop. Everybody's gone nuts.
Alex Cora said it. Right, Carlos Beltran was with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And gave that little wink, wink about what they were doing when they played the Yankees in London last year. So to think that the Yankees weren't doing something, come on, that's like naive to think that they weren't all of a sudden, oh my God.
Now, Aaron Judge is up here. He never did anything.
Right. Now everybody's like, everybody's high and mighty. Everybody's walking on water. I can't believe these.
But what is he, 7 years old? He's going back. Right. So he took time out of his
day. I deleted the tweet.
To find a tweet from 3 years ago to delete it. So what?
What's the furthest back in your Twitter feed you've ever gone?
I have no idea.
Yesterday?
Zero spots.
Maybe yesterday.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I posted that poll yesterday. Like that's it.
Short of like a spelling error where you like immediately delete the tweet. Like short of immediately deleting the tweet. You ever deleted a tweet?
Do you think, right?
Only when I screwed something up.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you say, like, hey, I messed that up.
But you don't go 3 years back. Because what does that matter? Like, we know that you're not congratulating him anymore. We know things have changed. We know that, in fact, you don't even need to do it yourself. Everybody's even saying 2017, that MVP award should have been to Aaron Judge. That was one of Cody Bellinger's big points. He's like, not only did they steal the World Series from us, but Jose Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge. And he's like, well, I showed him. I deleted the tweet that congratulated
him. Let me ask both of you something, right? Do you believe that all these players that are talking, that have coming out, that are saying stuff, weren't doing something? Do you truly believe that?
I think Rich is right. You'd have to be really nervous if let's say Aaron Judge, for the sake of our discussion, let's say Aaron Judge is doing stuff and has been doing what they are all accused of in Houston.
Yeah.
You go out and be that forceful, you are just going to get pummeled.
But maybe not to the extent of the way maybe some of the Astros players were doing it.
No, that's my point. I don't know if they were in like a trash can banging scheme, but they might be doing something.
Right.
It was just like when Ryan Braun.
Stealing signals when you're standing at second base, perfectly legal, gone on for ages.
But I'm saying they could be on the gas.
Electronic
I'm saying like anything. Like they could be, you know, HGH out of their mind. They could be whatever. And you're going to find out later on. Like when Ryan Braun tried to get that guy fired that was handling his his test results, and he's like, he was
trying
adamant
to ruin his life.
Yeah, and then like, oh wait a minute, you're just lying the whole time because you were doing stuff.
Right.
So I mean, I bet some of the guys, because so many players have spoken out against the Astros, I bet some of them might be clean as a whistle. Others might be dirtier than the Astros. It's an easy time to pile on Houston right now.
And they might not have went to the lengths of, like you said, banging on trash cans. Right. But it might have been some type of, we know with the Red Sox, it was the Apple Watch.
Right.
There's more, or whether it's the videos. If it's stealing signs on second base, that's fine. But we all know that they have like this video monitoring system. So to think that a lot of these guys that are saying stuff aren't doing it, I think these guys should just keep their mouth shut.
I love it.
Yeah, because
do it. Say more.
But the problem is, unless you know you're 100% clean on everything, no PEDs.
Maybe they are.
Not in
maybe at least a couple of them are.
Maybe some are. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
The chances of all of them being cleaned, I would say, is low. It's professional sports. They're all doing something.
I got to be honest. The PED thing, it doesn't concern me as much as the cheating, just in terms of...
But isn't that cheating, though?
Yes. No. But chances of you getting away with that are pretty slim now.
I don't know. I don't know what baseball is.
Agents out there.
Then a guy for the Astros just gets suspended for PEDs?
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you're doing it, you get caught now.
Okay.
And there aren't a lot of them anymore. I mean, for the most part, I think guys have gone, oh, this isn't worth it. I'm not losing 80 games for this.
Hmm. I don't know.
Unless you're Manny Ramirez, Manny just said, I'd keep doing it.
I bet there's still plenty of guys.
I don't know,
gassed.
Like, what, you know, in baseball, what could be, you know, what are some of
the next thing is.
Yeah, what are some of the you know, juice baseballs or whatever it may be, cork bats, that kind of thing. But to think that, you know, there are so many guys coming out, and I understand that it's wrong, but there's a lot of players doing something that I'm going to bet you is illegal. And they're taking shots at the Astros because it's an easy target.
I like that they're taking shots. I like the fact. And by the way, I can't wait. I've seen other people write about it. Will Middlebrooks tweeted about it. He said, I'm telling you, What the commissioner has done is give the Houston Astros carte blanche. Dig in, look for the outside stuff. Ain't nobody coming inside on you because they don't dare.
Which I think is a mistake.
They accidentally hit you, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble.
I think the pitcher should still go after the Astros all year long.
There's a sports book in England that set the over-under on the number of hit batsmen for the Houston Astros this year at 83.5.
And I guess three teams last year had more hits batsmen.
Right.
So, like, it's not this insane number.
No,
it's... They play 162 games, but I think they should absolutely go after them. Now, you have to be smart when you do it. You can't be opening day starter, first pitch.
And...
Well, not just that, but I'm saying if the umps all of a sudden are taking it really, like, they're being really careful with it, and you have your starter, you know, first batter, hit a guy, now he's out. You can't do it that way. But they'll figure it out.
But isn't that a bad look for baseball? Because you know what that's going to turn into? It's going to turn into a bench clearing brawl.
The whole thing's a bad look for baseball. Right. It
bench clearing brawls in baseball are usually rather tame, though.
It's not about the actual fight.
No, I know.
It's about
the optics.
We saw with the best one was the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, they had some.
Was it the Cincinnati
the
Reds?
The guy did, like, the flying kick?
Yeah, when they had the whole, you know, but it's just like the optics. People are going to go, really? You know,
I just think of all the sports.
It might actually help the interest level in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I would watch it if I know
maybe
there's somebody
there's more
get
fights because they needed help. Baseball is obviously trending in the wrong direction as far as, you know, viewers and the audience and specifically the young fans. And now, like, oh, some of the games aren't on the up and up. Teams are cheating, and now you're having this whole back and forth. It's not good. And the Astros should have been one of the best teams, and they still might be one of the best teams this year.
Hopefully they are good. They'll talk a lot of trash.
Right, and then if they embrace being the villain, then maybe that'll be good for the sport, potentially. But out of all the sports to have to deal with sort of like a cheating scandal with one of their top teams, this one was not good. And, by the way, the Rob Manfred stuff is incredible. The only guys, Roger Goodell and Gary Bettman right now are just laughing.
Oh,
because for a while they were the most hated commissioners, and now there is a new guy atop that mantle, and it is Rob Manfred.
That's actually the opinion I've changed on the most. I think there's a real good chance he is going to get fired.
Yeah, he's a buffoon.
He couldn't have screwed this up any worse than he has so far.
Every player hates him, and for different reasons, right? He goes out yesterday or 2 days ago and calls the World Series trophy a piece of metal.
Well, let's play the cut from 2 days. Let's play the cut from 2 days ago first.
Yeah.
That certainly has happened over the last month. And the idea of, you know, an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal.
Asking for a piece of metal back. And the response across Major League Baseball.
Oh, they killed him.
Oh, my Lord.
They killed him.
Which means yesterday he had to walk it back.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies.
Brag.
There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Oh, by the way, it's called the Commissioner's Trophy.
Yeah, he's got to go. He's got to go. I mean, every player. So a lot of players don't like Manfred because no Astro player has gotten in trouble. And they're like, well, what are you doing here? You're firing or you're suspending the manager. You're suspending the GM. And now you're still taking forever to investigate the Red Sox. And yet Altuve and Bregman and Springer and Correa, all these guys walk free. So a lot of players are mad about that. And then when you're trying to make some great point, you just diminish the World Series trophy, which I believe is the goal of every player to win.
Isn't
right?
that what you're playing
that's
for?
That's the idea. At least that's
like
the hope,
Wiggy,
anyway.
In your sport, calling the Super Bowl trophy a piece of metal. I mean, guys bleed and sweat and die for it.
Yeah, that's what you're playing for. That and the ring, you know.
And I had a long day on Sunday.
So is this guy insane? He said, I had a long day on Sunday. I talked for 45 minutes. 45 minutes? That's a long day now? We're supposed to feel bad for you? He's like, hey, come on, guys, cut me some slack. I had a long day. I was up there for 45 minutes. I thought he was going to say I did like 45 interviews or something. I'm like, oh, that's a long day.
Which I think
made one mistake.
Well, I actually think he was trying to say, and he screwed that up too. And
he screwed everything up.
Yeah.
This guy, every time he's in front of a microphone now, he screws it up.
But he couldn't.
The apology
really
might have been worse than the hunk of metal thing.
But he can't really. See, can he really suspend the players, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because here's what you're going to have to do then, right? If you truly want to get to the bottom of this whole thing.
Yeah, and I do.
You, okay.
I do. I absolutely want to get to the bottom of it.
So what you have to now do is you have to.
Don't you want to get to the bottom of it, Sherlock Wiggy?
I do, but here's what you have to do.
Turn over some stones?
Sherlock Wiggy homie Keefe?
As a good homicide investigator from the first 48.
First 48,
what you have to do is now you have to follow every lead, and you have to investigate everything.
That's what I want to do.
You know, we got to investigate. We got to investigate the Yankees.
Well, let's start with the Astros.
You have to have a basis. In other words, in the Astros.
Because we know we have a player. And Carlos Beltran, who was with the Astros when this was going on.
But let's start with the Astros.
Yeah, we start with the Astros, right? Now we have to see every player that might have been involved and where they went. So because we're investigating the whole thing.
You can't just investigate, though, because well, that player played in that organization 8 years ago.
No,
let's
I'm
go
not
back
saying
there.
8 years ago. I'm saying
whatever
from,
it is.
From the time that the Astros got in trouble. It's like a good homicide
case.
You got to look at all the players.
I think it's as simple as you have information on the Astros, and Mike Fiers is a big reason why.
Okay.
But you look into that. You get as much evidence as you can. You suspend as many players as you feel necessary with the Astros.
Yes.
I feel that way now. And then if other stuff comes up with other places, you get them too.
So then you're saying you don't even go investigate these other places.
I would take a look. I mean, what do you have on them? If you have something, then I would. But you can't just, like, how are you going to find something when there's no leads, no clues, no anything?
But you'd have to go look based on the player that was there. So based on Carlos Beltran being there, we know the same way you're investigating the Red Sox, knowing that, okay, he was there.
Sure, I just think it might be a dead end, but yes.
But maybe it is
a
dead end.
I would follow Cora, I'd follow Beltran.
Wiggy, let's start with the Astros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, figure that out.
And the guilty parties with the Astros, yes, you suspend them. Now, I'll say this, stagger the suspension so they don't lose, 80% of their team
don't do it
for 25 games.
Why? They don't get the benefit of that.
So you get
they play a triple-A team for half the season.
I don't care.
That's their punishment. I'm not taking the World Series away from them, but guess what? It's going to hurt in the year 2020.
But how do you know who to suspend on the Astros?
You can figure it out. You can listen to the bangs of the trash cans and whatever Mike Fiers has and whatever some of these other guys have.
What about that report out there? I forget there was a report out there from one of the players who goes, I didn't even hear any bangs of the trash can. When they were playing the Astros. So meaning there might have been other ways that they were doing this.
Yeah, no, there was. And so you have to get as much information as you can, but it seems like Bregman and Altuve are already apologizing. So what are they apologizing for? So they did something.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you do that, and that also minimizes. Now, there'll still be players that want retribution and they want to hit the Astros. Mm-hmm. But it'd be less, wouldn't it? If you're a pitcher and Jose Altuve gets zero punishment, guess what? I'm throwing at him.
Yes.
If he gets a 50-game suspension, some of you still might. Others would say, well, that's his punishment. He served his punishment. Just like a guy who gets popped for roids, he's out 50 games, whatever. He was trying to cheat the game. He got caught. He's back. Those are the rules.
You know what?
That's what they needed to do.
What I would consider, and I know Rob Manfred said you can't do
sending them to the International League.
No, but what I would consider is I would consider taking the World Series title away.
I just don't know.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing this the whole year. This is what happened for the entire year, and they won the World Series. And by the way, if they find out that the Red Sox were doing the same thing in 2018, I'd consider vacating that one too.
But what if it's only let's say it's only a couple of players for the Astros?
Oh, it's not a couple of players though, Wiggy. That guy
did the whole study.
So then it's the whole lineup.
Because there was even a guy who played.
So Rich,
like,
then in your theory, then you should be suspending anybody who stepped up to play the bat because they were probably doing something wrong, right?
Yep.
So every Astros hitter would be suspended.
I've thought about this, and it seems like the only reason why they aren't suspending anybody is because they're saying, well, what do you want us to suspend them all so everybody gets away with it? And you're like, you know what? No, suspend everybody.
Well,
everybody's suspended.
Rob Manfred claims that the
except
player,
for the pitches.
Yeah, those guys can play.
Rob Manfred claimed that the Players Association wouldn't go for it. And the Players Association said, wait a minute, we didn't say that.
No, and they can't say that because
they've got 25 guys in Houston who are all saying, hey, defend me, Players Association.
I say 90% of the league is
and
saying,
you got the rest of the
guys.
League saying, screw that.
Yeah.
Go get them.
No, they should, and I think that'd be the better way to move on. And I also make it very simple, and you just say, and I know they've been sort of tinkering with this, but all right, we're done with video equipment. It's all gone. In-game. In-game.
Right,
if you
want to
watch
video.
If you want to JD Martinez and watch, you know, your batting practice over and over again, God bless you. You got the technology now. But just because we didn't police this before, we're going to have to go overboard, and there is zero video equipment during the game.
So here's what we do with your theory.
Yeah.
We suspend every hitter that played for the Astros and that during that time,
yep,
because we'd have to think that if you stepped up to the plate, you, yep, were getting some type of, yep, information.
Right.
And so you suspend, and then the pitchers you wouldn't suspend.
Nope, they didn't do anything wrong.
And you basically would forfeit however many games that would be for suspending the play. So if you suspended them 25 games,
yeah,
the first 25 games.
No, you can play. You can play with your AAA guys and,
okay,
the guys that are on the team now that weren't on it in 17, which there's some turnover.
Okay.
I mean, I can go through the roster. I mean, their star guys are all still the
25
same.
25 games work for you?
Yeah, I think we can go with 25 games.
Okay, and if a player is somewhere else, then he gets his 25.
He also, yes, gets popped on
he
that
still
team.
Gets. Yeah. Well, now, and I know that, you know,
it's,
we don't,
firm but fair. Mm-hmm.
No, I know we don't compare the sports all that often, but recently, within the last 10 days or so, you had this gigantic punishment dished out to Manchester City in the Premier League. And they were, yeah, found of being guilty of financial improprieties.
Right.
They were banned from the Champions League for 2 seasons. They were fined 30 million euros. I mean, they came down like a ton of bricks on Manchester City. And they said, hey, you do this, you deserve it.
Because when I saw that, I was wondering if they could consider like a postseason ban. Like college teams,
that's what
do
this is. The Champions,
yeah,
League,
right,
which is a year-long thing. But
then
you're trying
win
to,
that, and then you go, yeah, into that, and it's a whole thing. But I'm saying in baseball,
they've been banned for 2 years.
And they would never do it. But we've seen in college basketball and in college football, like, hey, guess what? You get to play out the season, but no tournament for you, mm-hmm, or no bowl game for
but
you.
But is it possible?
I don't think you can do it in baseball.
But
though,
is it possible that there were guys on that team during this time that didn't do it?
It's possible.
Okay, so now you would then be suspending guys that were innocent.
That's why, that's why the investigation does need to take part. And you can't just blanket statement 2017, but I think you'll have enough information. You'll have Mike
Fires.
But how,
Fires, though? Maybe. How? If it's, you don't hear, if not everybody's hearing trash cans, right? And if there, we don't know if there wasn't a buzzer, but what if other people wearing
buzzers?
Although
there's photographic evidence.
I mean, there
that
might be. We've gotten
well
a lot of information to this point.
But that's
so
just on Altuve.
Yeah, okay. Then he gets a more steep punishment.
But what about other guys who you don't know could have been buzzered up?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance where you're not going to be able to punish everybody the way that you would want to. Very similar to steroids. Yeah, you got certain guys, other guys were able to get away with it or whatever else. And like,
or there's a chance you're going to suspend innocent guys who didn't do it.
There's a chance, I guess. But guess
I
what?
I mean, is it possible? Yes. I think you're probably going to get
was
more
so
guilty
rampant,
than innocent.
And there was even a guy.
I don't think there were a lot of innocents.
I don't think so either. There
supposedly,
was a guy,
Josh Reddick was a guy who said, no, I don't want to do it. Don't do it for me, supposedly.
Yeah, I don't buy
there
it.
There was some guy they brought up from the minor leagues halfway through
so
the year,
point.
And he said, no, I don't want that.
No, but there was also a guy that they brought up from the minor leagues who spoke, and I forget his name. He didn't even play in that many games. Remember, he had like 25 at-bats, and he even admitted, he's like, yeah, maybe I got a few extra hits because of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that guy, who I wouldn't even consider on the real roster, mm-hmm, they were doing it for him.
It's like the backup catcher or something,
yes,
like that. Right.
So I can only imagine what everybody else was doing. But yeah, this hasn't been handled very well, and then Manfred has just sort of stepped in it along the way, and you wonder
every move he's made has been
the
wrong
guy
move.
That's going to, you know, figure baseball's way out of this. It doesn't seem like it.
Now, I know that I think Michael McCann wrote about this, why Rob Manfred wouldn't be fired, and he was saying league revenues are up. You know, they've got good TV revenue. Fine. At some point or another, aren't owners in Major League Baseball saying, this guy's supposed to go out there and take a bullet for us? What he's doing is embarrassing us.
Yeah, it's been real bad. And then, you know, even the Astros aren't on the same page. Like, we've heard different things from all the players coming out of there, too. And so, like,
Jim Crane, it didn't have an impact. Well, I didn't say it didn't have an impact.
See, I think he made a mistake. What he should have did.
Who, Manfred?
Manfred. Yeah. What he should have did is, if you're not going to suspend everybody, then what you have to do is go, all right, we know something was going on. We're not suspending anybody. We're not suspending coaches, GMs, anything. What we're doing is, from this point on, we're implementing something and moving forward. And anybody after that, you know, that's it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Every Wednesday at 10:45, we have a hockey guest on. We've got a good one today.
We do.
It is the 40th anniversary this coming Saturday of the United States win gold medal win in Lake Placid. First the Russians and then Finland in the gold medal game. The goaltender for that team, for the U.S. Olympic team, Jim Craig, will join us at 10:45. But we'll get to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. First, we trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back.
Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keith.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
I just don't think it holds any value with you know, you cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. The biggest thing about competition is laying it all out in the line, and, you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top. You know, and, you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned, or, yeah, it's not earned.
That's Aaron Judge speaking yesterday at Yankees spring training. Bob Klapisch is covering the Yankees today for the New York Times, and he just tweeted out a few minutes ago, evidently Giancarlo Stanton said this morning. Klapisch writes, "Don't think Giancarlo Stanton was exaggerating when he said he would have hit 80 home runs, an additional 21, in 2017 if he'd known what pitches were coming. Stanton is a notorious guess hitter. Take away the element of surprise with his power, he'd be a machine."
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's that far off.
It's not.
With some of these guys, I mean, if they know what pitch is coming,
right?
Especially some of them, whether they're, you know, really good fastball hitters and they just know it's a fastball.
You got that much power?
Because most of them now are up there just hacking, right? Most players seem to be the three outcome players now. They're most of them are like the Adam Dunns, yeah. Home run, strikeout, walk. That's what a lot of these guys do, and that's when it's a guessing game. So if they know, I'm just going to sit heater and just wait for all, and then a guy like Stanton with that kind of power.
Well, I mean, that's what Mike Trout said.
Yeah.
You know, he goes,
I would love to know.
I would love to know what pitches are coming.
Yeah, that's why, and I maintain this from the moment this story came out, that this impacts the game and the individual players much more than steroids would. Because steroids, yes.
I think you're right, too.
You can hit the ball a little bit further, no doubt, and you can recover quicker from game to game. There's no doubt. But those guys still had to figure out, all right, fastball, curveball, where you know, what's going on?
Get crossed up. And,
yeah, right. And then.
But cheating, right?
Cheating is.
No, that's not true. It's not every bit of cheating is the same, Wiggy. It's not.
You get more of an advantage from certain things than other things.
Yeah, but if we're throwing you into that category, you're still a cheater, right?
Oh, no, I understand that part, but I'm saying it's not every bit of cheating is the same. You know, if I put too much pine tar on my bat.
Or if you, like, step on the outside of the batter's box
No, I understand that part of it, that it's all different. It's like, you know, my bank robber analogy.
Yeah, here we go.
You rob a bank, you rob a convenience store. At the end of the day, you're still stealing.
Yeah, but you could say that armed robbery versus just robbery is different.
But guess where you're going?
Yeah, but not as
long. You aren't going the same amount of time.
Well, but you're ending in the same place.
Yeah, but not as long.
It's totally different.
You're still a felon. You're still, yes, and that's yes. what and that's
but
what
it's
I was
why
thinking.
One guy's going to prison for like 20 years and right. one guy's going to prison for like 4.
Right, right. I understand that part of it.
That's why the suspensions are all different for all different things.
But it's no if you cheated, you're still gonna be looking, and that's why with a lot of these players that are coming out and they're saying, you know, they're throwing grenades at the Astros right now.
Yeah,
you,
no, they better be pretty sure. You better make sure that's you're true. Like Aaron, it'll all come out. Like, you'll find out if Nick Markakis or Aaron Judge or Cody Bellinger were doing something.
Make sure you weren't doing anything. Yeah. Make sure you weren't on no gas or anything like that, because now it's going to be like, oh, look at this guy. You know, he was doing all that talking.
What do you guys think about it being February 19th? It's still nothing on the Red Sox investigation.
If I were the Red Sox, I would be scared to death right now.
Like, what's the holdup?
Because the internal message was, well, there's not really much to see here. It looks like it. And then all of a sudden, Rob Manfred, who is, you know, Mr. Eloquence, said, well, there's been some developments in the Red Sox investigation. We've had to go back and re-interview some people. And I said before, there were three sources, apparently, who told Evan Drellick what the Red Sox were doing. All you need is one of those three sources to say to Major League Baseball, no, I'll tell you exactly what they were doing.
Right.
And then you go back to whoever. You know, and I'm not casting aspersions. I'm saying you pick any guy on the team and you say, hey, J.D. Martinez, you said nothing was going on, but this guy said this was happening. Now what do you say?
That's he said, she said, though, right?
I know, and that's tough.
You would need, you just said you wanted to investigate everybody. You wanted to go back to the Yankees
Beltran. But if that's what you're going to do,
but it's hard to find some of that evidence. Again, outside of the track.
No, it isn't.
How do you prove it?
You would then talk to the player, who's ever snitching at the time, and say, okay, how did they do it? What was the scheme? Give me a game where you remember them. And then he says, oh, it was, you know, it was May 23rd. We were playing such and such. Look for this tip. And then you would have to go back kind of whoever came up with the hitting the trash can things.
But what if you don't have a snitch?
Somebody investigated that.
How, if you don't have a snitch, if you don't where
have
do you
a,
go?
If you don't have
then
a snitch.
Then they might not have anything on then, the Red Sox.
That's what I'm saying.
I think when you look under that stone, there's nothing there.
Because I think they did something, and I'll always think that they did something, but pretty hard to prove. If you have a bunch of guys that say, well, I'm not going to, you know, rat here. I'm going to keep this to myself because, one, it'll diminish my accomplishments.
Somebody
Two,
did rat, it'll, though, it'll, to Evan Drellick.
Yeah, but we don't know if that was
three
a player.
Someone
but we don't know if those are players.
No, I'm saying, but whoever those three sources were that Drellick talked about, all you need is one of those three to say to Major League Baseball, look, I told Drellick, I'll tell you.
But that's the thing, is it seems like they're going to have to put their name to it, which they didn't want to do originally, which, again, is fine. A lot of stories, that's how they come out, but the reason why the Astros are going down is because of Mike Fiers.
We'll give them immunity.
The Red Sox don't have right now a person that is saying, here's what I know, here's my name, here's how I was a part of the team, and here's proof.
But
if you don't have that.
But if you let's say you're the Yankees or the Red Sox, you Major League Baseball can easily go to Carlos Beltran and go, what were you doing in New York? Were you doing X, Y, Z? What were the things, you know? Maybe that's part of...
It seems as though that's what the Mets did ask Carlos Beltran.
No, but Major League Baseball to go and say, okay, if you don't tell...
Well, my point is they could suspend him now, so what? He's gone. He's
right, but they could say it's a lifetime ban. If you don't give us information, where you're going to be banned from Major League Baseball from everything for the rest of your life. You need to speak now. If you don't want to tell us anything, guess what? See you later.
Yeah.
Same with Alex Cora. If they're really trying to investigate... What happened? What did you do now when you went to these other places?
Yeah, they need to put the screws to those guys because they would know everything.
To your point, Rich, and I don't disagree with you, by the way, that this is worse than steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Texter brings up a great point. If sign stealing is worse than the PED controversy, then none of these Astros players should ever get a sniff of the Hall of Fame, just like Bonds, McGuire, etc.
So I would say...
Now, you're not in favor of keeping those guys out.
I have all the Royd guys in, so I would have, if they continue on the track that they're on, which is going to be pretty
telling.
Let's
say Altuve. For the sake of our discussion, he seems like he's on a Hall of Fame track.
And won't it be telling, though, like the next
An
5 years?
An MVP that probably he didn't deserve,
yeah, exactly.
And a World Series title that he probably didn't deserve.
I think a lot of the voters, especially the ones that kept Bonds out.
But what if he continues to do well?
Then I probably would have him in, because listen, the baseball didn't stop it. It happened. It's on the books. So if Bregman and Altuve continue on this path, then I think you'd have to consider them. But if they fall on their face, man, that's going to be pretty telling, isn't it? If they have all of a sudden a terrible couple of seasons, you're saying, man, that was even more important than I thought.
Every Wednesday at about 10:45, we have a hockey guest on. We have hockey guests at other times, too. But Wednesday at 10:45, we lock one in. And we've got a good one. This week is the 40th anniversary of the United States Olympic hockey team winning the gold medal at Lake Placid, beating the Russians first and then beating Finland in the gold medal game. The goaltender, the guy with the American flag draped around his shoulder saying, "Where's my father?" Jim Craig will join us in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
If we played them 10 times, they might win 9.
From the Olympic ice, come on, baby! The U.S. huge underdog, same as the Soviet Union.
Not this game. Tonight, we skate. Tonight, we stay with it. We shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team.
It's Wednesday at 10:45. Time for this week's hockey guest on Dale and Keith.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is the goaltender for the U.S. gold medal Olympic winning hockey team in the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid, Jim Craig. Brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins. Good morning, Jimmy.
Great to hear from you, Dale.
Good to talk to you again. 40 years ago on Saturday. Did it seem that long ago to you?
It has its own life, Dale, which is really interesting. And as you get older, you have different chapters of your own. And the fan base and the people who talk about it, it's always so positive that it doesn't seem that long ago. It just seems different, and I can appreciate it in such different ways.
Does a day go by where you don't think about it, or at least some aspect of that whole experience?
I do a lot of my motivational speaking and executive training, so it's based around preparing and, really going to the audience that I have, trying to have them understand the difference between preparing to compete versus preparing to win. So a lot of my work is done, but mostly it's because you'll run into somebody at the airport, everywhere. It's crazy.
Now, do you ever, reflect back and look and go, maybe you didn't know it at the time, you were playing for your country against, obviously, one of the greatest, hockey teams in Russia. What does that feel like to know that you're representing so many people and then to be able to go out there and do what you guys did? What's that feeling like now, back then? I mean, how do you reflect on that?
You know, it's interesting. When I started this book about 10 years ago, it was really to really remember where you came from and how you got there. And so for me, growing up in Easton, it was always about community. It didn't matter how big your house was, didn't matter what size your car was. It was your community who gave you an opportunity. And, if you were smart enough, you took advantage of that opportunity. And so many steps along the way to get to where you go to, and I always tell people the hardest climbs have the greatest views. And, as you don't automatically go there. There's a lot of sweat, a lot of failure, a lot of those things. But when you walk into the locker room for the first time and you see your name on a jersey that represents your country, it's very, very special. And to be able to do that and perform collectively as well as we did and be able to execute something that nobody but my teammates and I thought we had a chance at doing is really special.
We're talking with U.S. Olympic gold medal winning goaltender Jim Craig. He's got a new book out called We Win, Lessons on Life, Business, and Building Your Own Miracle. I don't think people, because of the 40-year span, probably don't understand how big an upset it was. From 1960 to 1980, the Soviets won all 12 matchups with the U.S. They won by a combined score of 117-26, including a 10-3 win against you guys at Madison Square Garden before the Olympics. ESPN did a fascinating thing. They took your video of the whole game, they put modern Corsi analytics on it, and they basically decided that if not for Jim Craig, there's no way the U.S. wins that game.
Well, that's very kind of them. I like those type of analytics. You know, in my line of work, Dale, every time you made a mistake, a big red light went on, and they put your mistake up on the scoreboard, and they said who scored the goal, who helped you, and then they showed it again in the Jumbotron. So this is kind of nice.
How accurate is the movie Miracle, and what did you think of it?
First of all, it was really done very, very tastefully and well, and it protected the legacy that all of us worked so hard to create. There is some areas, because it's a two-hour movie, that have to move things along, but it was nice, and it was so nice for a different generation. And that's what's really neat, is when you go and you see young kids today who recite everything about Miracle and use it as a motivational tool in not only sports, but in life. So they did a really nice job, and it's really hard to do a hockey movie when people already know the outcome.
I've told Jim this story, but real quickly, my daughter played for Jim's club team, and when Miracle came out, we were watching the movie, and my daughter said, "Hey, Dad, that goaltender's got the same name as my coach," and I looked at her, and she had no idea. She was born 10 years after it happened. She knew that you were Taylor's dad, her teammate, and you were her coach. She had no connection to what happened back in 1980. The look on her face made it all worth it.
Yeah, isn't that nice? And that's the job that all of my teammates and I have worked really hard to do, is put that in perspective and move on with our lives. And, you know, this 40th anniversary gives us a chance to really feel good about what we accomplished collectively. We're old enough now. We're dads and grandfathers. And, you know, so it's time to really cherish the moment that we created so long ago.
Now, you said that you were from a small knit community. What did it feel like? You know, for me growing up in East Boston, we obviously knew Mike Ruzioni. That was the name for kids that followed hockey. What was it like for you to be that name for a lot of kids, a lot of kids in your community growing up? What was it like for you to just know that everybody knew who you were because of the special thing that you were able to accomplish?
Well, you know, the reason we call it We Win is because you can never do something by yourself. And so the great part about it is, in the early 70s, I was able to watch the Big Bad Bruins and have an idol as Bobby Orr. And, you know, I dressed up as Bobby Orr. And I knew that a role model as a professional athlete is a lot of the athletes today don't think it's their job. I happen to think it is, to create this idea that these kids can dream and be a good role model. So, I mean, I just put on Facebook the other day, this little guy who's all dressed up in a Jim Craig outfit. He's got the mask. He's got the shamrocks on it. And I just think back to how important it was for me to have those type of role models. Now, the difference today is we had them in every sport. We didn't specialize, and we just dreamed, and we competed, and we had fun, and nobody tried to make a business out of it. So, you know, to me, community back then is where it all started. And then as you get older, these communities change. Massasoit Community College and Neil Higgins and the opportunity that I was provided there to get to go to Jack Parker and be part of BU, and then to go on to that nationally. These are all opportunities that I was fortunate enough to be part of.
In your new book, We Win, you write a lot about Herb Brooks. What do you think are a couple of the major lessons that you learned from him?
He drove change, Dale. You know, everybody wants to embrace change, but as I say, there's four types of change. People who don't accept it, people who accept it, people who embrace it. But the great ones drive it. You know, I'm real good friends with Belichick, and Bill drives change. He doesn't wait for it to happen. And when you drive change, you're not following it. You're creating it. And Herb Brooks realize the way the USOC, the Olympic Committee, how they prepared to compete in the Olympics. So this is a big part of the book, is some people prepare to win and some people prepare to compete. And Herb Brooks taught us how to prepare to compete, and he drove change. He was innovative. You know, everybody talks about innovation, but very few people actually do it.
One of the crazy things when you're going back through all the details of the game and the upset over the Soviet Union was the fact that it was on tape delay. And I'm curious, what did you guys do after you won? Did you, was there like a team celebration somewhere? Did you happen to watch it with people who were watching it for the first time? Like, did you go to a bar? Or what was that like in the immediate aftermath, knowing that you had won, but only the 8,000 or so people inside of the building had actually seen it in live action?
You know, it's hard not to compare it to today and how crazy it would be. But, you know, I think it was the norm back then. And, you know, so we're acting now like we knew the difference then, and that we didn't. Mm-hmm. So I remember Mike and I was with my dad. He was with his dad. We were walking down Main Street, and the whole place just was crazy. And with Jim Lampley, and he's talking about this wind. And, you know, Herb did such a great job at protecting us from the media. And he did that because he understood how decisive it could be. And as we were preparing, you know, we played every other day. And we had a great team that we had to play against the next day. So I really think this 40th anniversary is great, because forever we've had to put this celebration on hold. You beat the Russians and you have to put it on hold because you're playing a great Finland team. And for the fans out there, if you go look at who we competed against and how they went on to play in the National Hockey League, because the Cold War was just ending and these Europeans were just starting to come to the NHL. So we win, we have to play the next day, you know, within 2 days. And then we try to go and get into a professional career where very few Americans played. So we never really got a chance to celebrate. And that's what's so special about now, is because I get to share this with three generations, not only my kids, but who they're married to, but our granddaughter, Shay. So it's just fun.
Now, you talked about that you and Bill Belichick are good friends. When I was with the Patriots back in 01, one of the things that Bill Belichick did a great job of was getting us to believe that we could beat the Rams, who, you know, were the best team in football in that first Super Bowl. What are some of the things that maybe Herb Brooks was able to do to motivate you guys to put in your mindset that you could go out there and you could actually accomplish your goal and beat the Russians?
Well, you know, what both Herb and Bill have very much in common is there's only one winner, and they know that. And so what they do is they focus and prepare to win, not to compete against the team. And that preparation for us was so revolutionary, and Herb drove change. I mean, we played 61 games in a little over 4 months, and we played it against the best in the world. So what he did is he put us in positions to fail so that we would know how to prepare to win. And as we got closer as teams, the recruiting and how Herb recruited was really great. All the teammates that I played with had won at every level. They knew how to win. And in the book, I always say it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody has to take credit. And what Bill does really well, in my opinion, and what Herb did really well, is they don't take credit for it. It's their job, and they prepare, and they become your confidence. And they're you know, in leadership, there's two types of leaders. There's people who want people to follow them, and there's people who want people to believe them. And Herb and Bill are ones who prepare people. So not only do they believe in what he's doing or what the coach is doing, but they believe it themselves.
The new book is called We Win, Lessons on Life, Business, and Building Your Own Miracle Team. It is written by Jim Craig. I've already ordered mine. I hope people get the opportunity to pick it up as well. Jimmy, it's always good to reconnect with you. Thank you.
Yeah, Dale, it's great. And thanks for the time. And go Bruins.
All right, pal. We'll talk
thanks,
to you
Jim.
Soon.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks.
That is Jim Craig joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. He is the author of the single greatest upset in sports history.
forget about Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. That was the single greatest upset ever, and they're going to celebrate it this weekend. A huge, big deal out in Las Vegas. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.